You're listening to a Rhino.com podcast. Yes, you are.
Hey, it's Bob Lefsetz for the Rhinocast. On a hot summer day, remember that song by It's a Beautiful Day? They put it in my college. My best buddy found the lead guitarist Hal Wagonet on the street. They drank apricot brandy together. That's another rhinoceros song. I was out hiking last night, coming up with ideas for this podcast, and I woke up this morning with such a beautiful summer day that I had completely different ideas. And all I could think of was that Beach Boys song All Summer Long, which became a title of one of their compilation albums. It was not really that big a hit. And then I said, well, what Beach Boys song do I want to do? Is that on my iPod? They said, catch a wave, and you'll be sitting on top of the world. And I'm driving here from Santa Monica to Burbank, and I get a completely different idea, which I will eventually get to. But then I get to Rhino, and we have this little studio, technical difficulties. And I'm telling you all this because it's the story behind the news that fascinates us, whether it be the story behind Michael Jackson or the story behind the making of your favorite albums. So Celine gets on the phone. She makes a few phone calls. We go across the street to what is affectionately known as the Ski Lodge, Warner Brothers Records. You have to understand, in the 70s, this would be like going to Mecca. We are going to cross the street in 100-degree weather to the Ski Lodge, where we go down two flights of stairs to someplace I've not only not been before, did not know existed, where we experience more technical difficulties. And I was lamenting the fact that I journeyed all the way out here and had burned a couple of hours already. But we got a hold of engineer extraordinaire James, who is now doing this session and eliminated all the technical problems. In the future, we'll probably do it from his studio. But thinking about the summer, I had an idea for a podcast, and we're going to start what I have to say right now. Now, you know that track, Hello, I Love You. That was a surprise hit. You know, the Doors' first album came out. It took a while for Light My Fire to become a hit. It was, of course, the edited version. That was a big deal. I mean, can you imagine that today? There's two versions, and people don't know the other version. Everybody knows everything. If you're interested at all, you can find out the real stuff on the web. But there was a version with a much longer instrumental, and those of us who bought the album were aware of that. That first Doors album, that's as good as it gets. Classic. Up in the league of who's next. I mean, albums you look at it and go, God, I cannot find a problem. As great as the end was, you know, the song I love, The Crystal Ship, Before You Slip. I mean, they don't make music that even has that feeling anymore. But the second album, Strange Days, had no hits, no successes. And if you bought the first, you obviously bought the second. The second was darker. The second had Hoarse Latitudes. And it had the long version at the end of the second side of When the Music's Over. Now, in Connecticut, buying the record, I was under the illusion that they cut the first record and had a hit, and they were replicating that on the second record. When Doors history tells us they were playing When the Music's Over long before they even recorded the first album. But in that era, which was at the turn of the underground FM era, one could argue that Light My Fire was really the turning point, because it just started to be underground FM stations where you could hear the long version of Light My Fire. But the reason I'm bringing all this radio history up is there was an accelerate. It's kind of like this today, without making too much about today. Over the years, from the late 60s to the 70s on, it became longer and longer between album cycles. Whereas in the late 60s, I mean, the Beatles would put out three records a year in the mid-60s. So when the second record came out and was not a huge hit, you figured, hey, maybe it's over. Maybe they're done. And then suddenly they have a hit. And Hello, I Love You, not exactly, you know, dark and meaningful. But in this particular case, did the audience even care about dark and meaningful? Most people were still listening to Top 40 radio. Nobody had an FM radio in their car. And you never know whether to say his or their, you know, whether the Miz police are going to come out at you. I could go, that's a whole nother podcast, you know, which revolves around the issue of can men say chick, and is today's generation, are they accepting the victories of the women's movement of the 70s, or has there been a step back? Tune in the future. But Hello, I Love You, huge hit. Now, it was the summer, and the reason I'm doing this podcast, there are a couple of reasons, I'll get to the second reason in a minute, was I'm thinking back to my high school summers. During the summer, it was illegal for us to be home in Connecticut. My parents wanted to go on a trip. They wanted to be absolved of us. So first went to day camp, which wasn't really much of a break for them. Then went to summer camp. I would go back to summer camp forever. I think I've said that before. Then I did varying things in 1967. I went to Philmont Scout Ranch. Wow. Where I was hit on by a guy, you know, the Boy Scouts. Now, the Boy Scouts are a religious operation. Back then, you know, what they said, yeah, some guy hit, he was gay. I had a couple of bad experiences with gay, a couple of bizarre gay experiences with the Boy Scouts. And, you know, there were horses and stuff. That's why I'm thinking of the Cowboys. That's my save there. And I say they're bad because the guys hit on me and did bizarre shit. I got no problem with the people being gay, but, you know, that's something we'll tell one-on-one late at night at the campfire. So in the summer of 68, I went on a canoe trip with my best friend Mark Goloff up the Allagash. It was really something amazing. You go 450 miles in a canoe, and there's a lot of adventures. And it's funny because there was a magazine, I, that I took on the whole trip. And Life also did all the hip groups and had Jefferson Airplane, et cetera. And I knew this song. I had this Norelco cassette player with me, which I did not take on the actual trip, left that in base camp. And this was the summer when Jumpin' Jack Flash became a big hit, et cetera. And I remember Hello, I Love You. Now, if you're a fan of an act, you continue to buy. I used to say, basically, you buy three albums after the album you like. After that, you're done. Maybe two, okay? So love the first Doors album. The second one, good. So I'm going to buy the third album, okay? Third album was the first. It had a gatefold cover, and it, this is so much here. You know, people who are under the age of 30 are going to wonder what the hell I'm talking about. But they used to print on paper and then glue it to the cardboard. The big breakthrough was to print on cardboard, okay? And they did that and in the late 60s. And then you had a gatefold of a special stripe called a Unipak. And the Doors, Waiting for the Sun, came out with that. And it was not dark like the first albums. Literally had a light cover, etc. And there was a whole poem on the inside, which leads me to a track from that album.
Not to touch the earth, not to see the sun, nothing left to do but run, 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 let's run. Let's run. House upon the hill, moon is lying still, shadows of the trees, witnessing the wild breeze. Come on, baby, run with me. Let's run.
You know, we used to buy the albums back in the 60s. I know every lick of this record because I can only afford so many records. But the most amazing thing was the lyrics for this song were part of the poem, but the rest of the poem was nowhere to be found on the album. Now, as years wore on, we had the crazy situation where albums would be titled one thing and the song would appear on the next album. That happened with Little Feat. But in this particular case, where Little Feat kept on, you know, they print the lyrics, but then that song wouldn't be on it. But this would be, that'd be like on the inner sleeve. Here, you know, it's the Doors. We have this whole long poem. Eventually, with live albums, we got that. That song, decent, dark, not unbelievable. But this next song, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
love street lingers long on love street. She has a house and garden. I would like to see what happens. She has robes and she has monkeys, lazy diamond studded flunkies. She has wisdom and knows what to do. She has me and she has you.
What a magical cut. I was walking from the psychiatrist to my car yesterday, and I got in, I turned on XM, and on Deep Tracks, they played Love Street. Now, this is a deep track because at this point, people only know the greatest hits. But as I say, if you bought the album at the time, you know that song, and you know enough about the Doors to know that Jim Morrison lived in Venice, California, which is now, you know, a place where they film infomercials for blue blockers and sunglasses and et cetera. But in the 60s, it's when they formulated the whole scene. I went to Pageant of the Masters in Laguna earlier this week, and I was in Laguna Beach. I said, this is it. It's like a living Beach Boys record. Everything you knew about the 60s from reading the magazines, from getting the vibe, it's in this song. It was in Venice, California.
We could be so good together, yeah, so good together. We could be so good together, yeah, we could, I know we could. Tell you lies, I tell you wicked lies. Tell you lies, tell you wicked lies. Tell you about the world that we'll invent. Wanting world without lament. Enterprise, expedition, invitation, and invention.
You know, I'm looking at the track listing when I decided to do this podcast, and it's amazing, you know, I know every song, and that sounds good, but it wasn't as good as what was on the first two albums. Ultimately, the next album I bought in the summer of 69, Soft Parade, I love that. That's a relatively denigrated record. But I gave up after that. That song has the Soft Parade, the title track, another long cut, Wishful Sinful, the hit Touch Me. But they were moving in a direction that was too mainstream. It seems like it was less soulful and more made for radio. And I gave up. I didn't buy Morrison Hotel, which, you know, you can hear on the radio on every classic rock station known to man today. And L.A. Woman, you know, Riders on the Storm. If there's a drop of rain, we hear that in Los Angeles. But there were a couple of dark numbers. There was Spanish Caravan and 521. I'll just give you a taste of those, just so you know what we're dealing with here. That Spanish Caravan sounds like a soundtrack to a movie, maybe El Topo. And here's 5-1.
Yeah, come on. Love my girl. She looking good. Come on. One more. 5-1, baby.
You get the idea after that. That's like a military song. There was another quasi-hit off this album, Unknown Soldier. I'm going to play that. It was sort of cheesy in the middle because they had a gunshot, which doesn't sound as cheesy. You know, back then we were much more judgmental. It's like you would think back in the 60s we knew less. And no, like, are you out with us or against us? Unknown Soldier, cool, anti-war, but a little bit, you know, playing with the mainstream for those for the lowbrows.
Wait until the war is over and we're both a little older. The unknown soldier. Breakfast where the news is read, television, children fed, unborn living, living dead. Bullet strikes the helmet's head, and it's all over for the unknown soldier. It's all over.
You're familiar with that, I'm sure. If not, you know, it's one of the great things about being young and not having lived through this stuff the first time. You get to check classics out. So I remember I went on this canoe trip on June 21st. Occasionally school would go that far. I was worried, but there weren't that many snow days. We got out and, God, flew to Bangor, Maine, and then got in a Toyota truck. This one, no one had a Toyota, and drove all the way to Moosehead Lake. And the album came out while I was on the 6-week canoe trip. And the end of the canoe trip was great. We went on the actual, the Kennebec River, which was controlled by locks. Some of the most frightening rapids of my life. Very cool. In order to get the canoe to go over, you had, if you were in the bow, you had to lean back so the canoe would not be drenched in the wave. Very cool. But we had, you know, at that point, 5+ weeks of experience under our belts. And, you know, it was very cool. You know, they would fly the supplies in with a seaplane. And we had kind of a crew. They were not that appreciative. There were 20 people. There were 3 so-called counselors and 17 campers. And we were not the best group they ever had. We had some flakes. Some people didn't do it. I remember we lost one canoe. Canoe flipped over. And it got wrapped in a rapid around a pole of a bridge. And they had to fly in a new canoe. But eventually got back home the first week of August, bought this album, and I'm going to play you this one song. I was inspired to do this podcast by hearing Love Street on XM, but the best song on this album I'm now going to play you, and this is an album I think of every fall. Now, it's July right now, and August is coming up. There's a great song off the 3rd Carole King album after she made it, which is really the 4th album, okay? And it's called The First Day of August. On the first day of August, I'll wake up by your side after sleeping with you on the last night of July. And I play that every August 1st. But there's a time when the days are getting shorter, as a change in the year, that I play this song.
Summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. Almost gone. Yeah, it's almost gone. Where will we be when the summer's gone? Morning found us calmly unaware. Moon burned gold into our hair. At night we swam the laughing sea. When summer's gone, where will we be? Where will we be?
it's wistful. At this point, I hate the summer. I live in Santa Monica. They say you don't need air conditioning, and you don't. But about a week a year, you do, and you're schwitzing, or it's too hot late at night. I don't know what it is. You know, people love the beach. I've gotten to the point where I could live without that. But the bottom line about winter is the short days fuck you up. They should reverse it. The short days should be in the summer, and the long days should be in the winter. But all of a sudden, you realize sometime late August, at worst, early September, because I don't know whether you know this. Actually, it's hotter here like in September than it is in June in Los Angeles, which is unlike the East Coast where I grew up. And you go, God, it's over one more time. And you feel like part of your life is slipping by. And then you're on to winter.
Wintertime winds blow cold this season, falling in love. I'm hoping to be. Wind is so cold, is that the reason? Keeping you warm, your hands touching me. Come with me, dance, my dear. Winter's so cold this year. You are so warm.
Isn't it funny that the wintertime song is actually more upbeat? You need to be energized. You need to protect yourself against the cold. Reminds me of that guy, you know, the guy who's McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy now. He used to be a child actor, and he was in some great movies. One of my favorite teen movies, Can't Buy Me Love. But he was also in a movie with the three sisters up in Montreal. And I remember seeing it, and it was cold, and it was the winter. I think Andre Gregory was the father. So on some level, unlike bears, we don't hibernate in the winter. We actually become more active, which makes me excited about the winter. I used to say, I can't wait till spring, but I don't live, you know, where it's cold year-round. I mean, I love going to Colorado. I love going to the mountains. I guess, you know, if you're in New Jersey where it rains more than snows, you might say, God, I'm waiting for the spring. And it would be weird, like I know these skiers, you know, who have endless winter. You know, they're in Colorado in the winter, in America, and then they go in our summer to Chile. But still, as much as you miss summer, that sounds somewhat appealing to me. So that's the summer of 1968. When I went on my canoe trip, I was reminded hearing that song on XM, Love Street, and driving here, I go, I want something upbeat that's got that feel with no baggage attached, that's waiting for the sun by the doors. Till next time, it's Bob Lefsetz for the RhinoCast.
You've just listened to a Rhino.com podcast. Visit Rhino.com for music, movies, and all kinds of crazy shit.